The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Podcast Network. Geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, Nerdapalooza, the world's largest nerd music festival, and with the generous support of listeners like you. For more Nerdy Show podcasts, community forums, and learn how you can support this and other fine Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
This is Daniel Way, and I'm sorry to say you're listening to the Nerdy Show.
Welcome to Nerdy Show, a weekly podcast dedicated to every facet of nerddom, from comics and video games to science and technology. If it's geeky, we've got it covered. Hi, I'm Cap.
I'm Brandon.
I'm Matt.
I'm Jonna.
And I'm John Lavelle.
And today we're going to talk about the second day that we were on the floor of E3, the third day of the show. We are all messed up.
There's a few things we should talk about before we start that we learned. This morning, I think. And if people aren't following the news, they may not know it. And I think maybe we should talk about it for
sure,
like a minute.
Sure.
Peter Dinklage, who plays Tyrion from Game of Thrones, is playing the voice of the little, what the hell was his name? The little ghost thing?
I think it's called a ghost. It's from Destiny.
From Destiny, the little thing that makes light, and, you know, it's an AI, and it does shit for them. He's the voice of that. Totally cool.
So if you want a little Dinklage in your heart, well.
Is he appropriate for that voice, or do you think it's just because he's on Game of Thrones and it's popular right now?
He's a really good actor.
No, he's the best guy in that show, in my opinion.
In fact, he's rumored to do the voice, and this is a rumor, but he's rumored to be the voice of Apocalypse in the next X-Men film.
That's how good he is at everything.
A little man playing a size-changing ancient giant.
I've also seen his face photoshopped onto MODOK a couple times.
That's Chris, mean.
Yeah. I mean, it is. Smash Brothers, we learned of a new character this morning.
Yeah.
Okay. You talk about it.
When I heard this, I thought it was a bad idea, and then I saw Nintendo's the director of Smash Brothers talking about it, and he got it. The Wii Fit Trainer, the female Wii Fit Trainer.
The unnaturally healthy, whatever they called her.
The unnaturally healthy fighter, yeah. I thought it was going to be stupid as hell. It's actually hilarious and really, really well done. And it's very self-aware. It's very tongue-in-cheek. And actually, I think it's going to be kind of brilliant. It makes as much sense as having Mr. Game & Watch, really. So I'm interested.
So another thing, Last Guardian is not on hiatus.
Yay!
That supposedly was a translation error.
It wasn't even a translation error. It was the guy said, hey, look, English is my first language. I realized it doesn't actually mean what you thought. What I thought it meant, and so there was a confusion. It's still in development.
So yeah, it's still in development, but it's still TBA, so it could be in a million years.
It's still going to happen, though, eventually.
But if it does happen, PS4 seems like a good place for it to happen.
Mm. It looks like it's heading that way.
So Ninja Gaiden Z that we briefly talked about on day one that I saw for a few minutes, we learned a little bit more about it. The main character is not Ryu, but an undead man who wants to take vengeance against Ryu. And the tagline for the game and the things he says are basically, what is it? Honor and death, was it?
It's like, you know, like people fight for honor and they think there's honor and death. Honor and death go together like hot sauce in my balls.
That's what he says. That's the time. And the character actually.
Yes, that is in the trailer.
It's in Brandon's notes.
The character. It's in my notes, which means it happens.
I thought that it was supposed to be like that's a serious.
No, the character acts like Deadpool. Actually, probably more than the Deadpool game.
But I don't know about that, man.
But that's a serious game.
No, it's always been kind of funny.
Yeah,
but no, but this character's not the same character.
This is like Ninja Gaiden Z.
It's a different company, different everything.
Yeah, it's still Team Ninja. It's basically, it's like the Blood Dragon of Ninja Gaiden. Think about it that way. It's an undead zombie killing ninja game. Say, you know, take from what you will. That line is great.
So the last thing I have before we start E3 Day 2 was we
Day 3.
Day 3. I'm sorry.
Whatever.
Before we start, okay. The last thing I have before we start E3. Day 3 was we saw a little bit the other day of this weird sorcerer video that was put out. We were like, what is this dark
Quantic
sorcerer?
Dream, during the Sony panel, put out this hilarious sorcerer video.
And it was like 2 minutes long, and they said the rest of it will be on the floor. I'm like, what the fuck? So we actually found the video and watched all 12 minutes.
Yeah, it's on YouTube. We'll link to it on this episode's page, and it's a tech demo. It's kind of like that Android thing they did like a year ago, and it's hilarious. Watch it. Watch all 12 minutes of it. It's not only is it a brilliant tech demo. I mean, like they are.
I wish there was more. More. Yeah. It's hilarious.
I'm a little upset that it's just a tech demo.
I wish they had been more clear about that. They usually specify when it's just a tech demo. During E3.
Yeah, it's kind of a cock tease thing that Quantic Dream's working on a medieval fantasy game. But the, oh my god, the technology. Please work on a medieval fantasy game, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, or, you know, make a movie out of that, because it was really good. And that's all I've got, so we can start actual E3 shit. All
right, let's get into some responses from fans who've been talking to us on the forums. There was... some people think that we've got a kind of a confused opinion. This is actually some fans have been talking to us about it, but let me bounce something Colin said recently to us all. He said, "Wow, I still don't understand why the guys at E3 keep defending Microsoft, that Sony are jerks and that they're pulling low blows. Honestly, I think that Sony has its pulse on the market and is calling Microsoft out on their bullshit. P.S. Laval, you don't count because you're going to buy one anyway. Hell, you have a Wii U."
What I told him was, I'm sorry, Brad, I mean, no. But I've told this specific person.
It's Colin. I already said it was Colin.
Yes, but I refuse to use his name in polite company. What I told him was, hey, at least I'm going to have a super rare console that when nobody fucking buys it, I'll have the only one. It'll be worth thousands of dollars someday. So, fuck.
I don't think there'll be a supply problem for that system.
And there's people have to understand there's a difference between calling someone out on some bullshit and being a complete dick about it, rubbing it in their face constantly.
It's not Sony's job. They're not the press. They're not us. I mean, it's not their job. It's extremely inappropriate for a company to do that to another company when you're on that level. Yeah. In fact, that just proves that they need Microsoft to exist.
Don't feed the trolls.
They need to be careful, because if they have one little slip up, Microsoft is going to rip them a new one.
I mean, let me put it this way. Brandon is basically a Sony fanboy. He kind of denies it, but he is.
I am.
And he's sort of agreeing.
They were complete dicks. I mean, they could have called him out.
Was it funny? Yeah, it was really funny.
The first thing they said was funny, and then the video came.
I think the whole thing was funny.
That's too
far. But it's still a bit much, even for me.
It's cheap. It's really reactionary.
How
about they say something good about the PlayStation on its own without actually having to put down somebody else?
Are they right? Yes, they are right. It's very good of them to not bother to interrupt the ecosystem. Like, I think that like what we have going now is a great tradition, and it's fine, and I like physical things, and if you buy something, it should be yours. That is awesome. However, it really, there's still a lot of vague things about Microsoft. That said, the guy who actually runs Xbox is a complete douche nozzle and should never be allowed to speak to anybody ever.
And I don't want to get anybody, I'm not going to mention the guy's name, but I spoke to somebody from PR at Microsoft, and I said to him, I said, you know, maybe a certain executive should never be allowed in front of a camera, and they probably shouldn't be allowed to give interviews. And he said, I can't really say anything about that. I wouldn't expect it to. Let's make a blanket statement here. Let's say all executives shouldn't be allowed to talk on camera in front of people. He said, okay, I can agree to that. And he was like, I mean, he looked super, like, he was embarrassed to be in that room.
The PR guys have quite a job going.
Yeah.
Especially for Microsoft this year. I feel really bad for the PR guys.
And then the guy had, like he just didn't know what to say.
It's not like we're sanctioning what they're doing. I don't know. Don't read into it too much, guys.
Just forget about it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not trying to defend Microsoft by saying that Sony was acting inappropriately. It's just that, you know, in a business, you should...
They're both
purely
dicks.
Yeah, basically.
Frozen Treasure said, just because people react sensationally to Sony effectively saying they aren't going to change anything about what they do, it's Sony being dicks? They have every fucking right to be proud they aren't trying to shaft the majority of their consumers.
Yeah, I think the disconnect here is the difference between what people think is... a company statement, which is basically like, for example, because Microsoft didn't unveil what they're doing with used games,
right?
If they had specifically alluded to Microsoft and it turned out that that's not what Microsoft is doing, that would technically be slander. Like, they could actually get in trouble for that.
So E3 stuff.
Yeah. we need to correct something. Also, thanks to the Frozen Treasure.
Yeah, the Bayonetta 2.
Bayonetta 2 is a Wii exclusive. I didn't realize it, but it is. In fact...
I didn't realize it because it was originally, you know, Bayonetta was a Sega game and it came out for everything. And I just assumed, you know, I heard Bayonetta 2 is coming out. And I was like, okay.
Is this a Sega?
It was published by Sega. They didn't develop it.
But yeah. So I assumed it would be on every system again at some point.
See what happens when you assume?
Yeah, exactly. And I apologize. I didn't do research on Bayonetta 2 off the bat. I thought it would actually, you know, I thought it would be like, it's Wii U exclusive like right now, but it would come out later in every other system. I didn't know Nintendo bought up the fucking publishing rights.
You were too busy talking about how they sculpted
and
butt.
That's yeah. kind of, that's kind of neat, actually. So
no. It's neat, but a lot of hardcore fans, like, I'm not saying I'm a hardcore fan, but it's an incredibly fun game, and I'm a little disappointed because I don't have a Wii U.
Well, we're going to try it out tomorrow?
Yeah, I'm definitely going to try it out. So I played it a little bit. Well, I watched a little bit of it today, but tomorrow I'm going to play some of it.
I'm into it.
So anyway.
Yeah.
South Park.
Yeah, South Park, yeah. What do we know about South Park, the Stick of Destiny?
I got to go.
Isn't it the Stick of Truth?
The Stick of Truth.
Sorry, yes.
I think I wrote that down wrong. Anyway,
Stick of Destiny, Pick of Destiny. That's my train of thought. Continue.
So I got to watch about a 20-minute demo today in a very small theater, and it was your player character, which I don't know if it was a given name or if it was a player-created name, but the name of the character was Commander Douchebag. So I don't know. And, you know, you could tell that there was definitely some customization options to make a very generic South Park character.
Like on the web?
It's actually the avatar creator from the web. And, like, when you get new weapons or, you know, new weapons, new armor and everything, you just add those things on the avatar creator to your character. And it's great because there's things like leather armor, which leather armor is like a leather S&M outfit. Like, you know, like a thong riding up and everything. But it has, like, the stats of like leather armor. Like, it's really cool. All the magic in the game, like quote unquote magic, like a fire spell is like a, he has like a sparkler firework. The water spell is like a, you know, super soaker gun. It's, it actually plays a lot like Paper Mario, in which you don't just cast spells, but you can also influence their the percent critical, you know, hit by, you know, actually pressing A at the right moment or waggling the left stick fast enough, things like that. It was very funny. You know, that classic South Park comedy was definitely in there in full force.
I love that. I love that, you know, it's a big joke about the RPG genre, and it seems like it's going to be like the greatest thing South Park related in years and years.
Oh yeah. I mean,
and Obsidian Entertainment are fantastic.
Obsidian is the perfect developers for this game, and the game looks just like a TV episode. I mean, if there wasn't any of the HUD elements, it would just be like right off the air. It was perfect. Even the fire effects are the real fire that they use on the show that like looks ridiculous. it's perfect. Like it's great.
And you were near an interview with Matt Stone and Trey Parker. Did you get any gems from that?
No, I didn't, because they moved us from like into the theater as it was starting. But it was great because it wasn't an interview like with them. They were speaking in front of the setup, so I don't know what they were, if they were giving like an intro for the game or they're going to be using it for some sort of promotional material. Which I imagine they probably will be, but it was really cool to actually see them right before walking into the theater. And it was just so strange, like the first South Park episode I ever saw, I think it was sixth or seventh grade, and it was Big Gay Al's Big Gay Boat Ride. And like since then, I've been like watching South Park consistently every season for that long, and I'm just like, you know, almost like 20 years at this point, and it's like there they are. It was very, very cool.
I mean, my friends and I, you know, recorded the first season on VHS, and we just play it again and again.
Oh, yeah.
I remember when they were airing ads for it on a local rock station, and I didn't even know what the characters looked like. I thought they were like maybe cartoon animals or something, because that's what they sounded like.
Mm-hmm. I used to download WAV files of my favorite quotes from episodes.
Yeah, me too.
In season one. Like,
I was just, doing that.
Yeah, just,
that is a weird thing. And I've never done that.
And it's still around, and it's still, you know, relevant.
Sometimes it's still extremely brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very excited for that. I'm glad to know it held up.
Oh yeah, definitely.
So we also got at some point to try out the new Xbox One controller and their haptics demo.
Yeah,
you got it right, dude.
Yeah, haptics. I wrote it down.
Because that guy behind us said.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, I remember that from Neuromancer.
This guy looks up behind us and goes, oh yeah, I'd love to see the haptics controller or whatever.
And I was like, why aren't I that cool to use the word haptics? So, how did you feel about that, Cap?
Literally, how did you feel?
They got the controller demo. It's like five or six different things to display the Xbox controller. They're like, well, what's different about it? It looks fine. It looks the same. Right. It has four motors in it. If you guys are familiar with Dolby Atmos, it's the new version of Dolby Sound in theaters. There's a few of them scattered across the United States. It's a fully immersive theater situation where it's not just speakers around the side. There's actually speakers suspended above strategic locations in the audience. So that, say, the Hulk crushes a car and throws it off the screen, you'll actually hear the car crash behind you. It gives you this fully immersive sonic experience. That is what this controller is for tactile
that would be
sensation.
Touch.
Yes. It's like, for example, say you're starting a car. You get the sensation in your hand of the same sensation you'd have when your hands are on the wheel and you start the car. It has that full range of vibration, and because there's four different points on the controller, it can do quite a bit. Gun vibration and everything. It's not just a in your hand. It's like it's very complex. It's nice
and it's very specific.
Yeah.
Now it did a heartbeat. It wasn't like
that creeped me out a lot. The heartbeat one actually.
Well, and that's an easy way for say survival horror games or anything to manipulate the way you're feeling because your heartbeat will naturally sync with anything else that's in like. A rhythm like that, and just having a heartbeat in your hand, I mean, they can accelerate your pulse if they want to.
Didn't you say earlier that they could kill people that way? Because
I have heard, situations with certain people have in fact died from that. It's not from this.
The exponent has killed people.
Here comes the shit start. See, now we're gonna see it all over fucking
you,
Tumblr.
You will not die from this. I'm just saying, like in like say,
I could just see the post.
An immersive, complex like thing with a human heartbeat being played to acceleration. Some with a weak heart, you could basically a heart attack could happen if all the conditions are right. The heart is a very powerful thing, is what I'm saying, and they can put that into your hands.
But the heart is also
a great way to manipulate the player in a positive, immersive way.
The heart is the most easily manipulated muscle.
That's true.
That's
physically
Hallmark card,
and
right?
Mentally.
Is that a Hallmark card?
So the thing is, it was a tech demo, so Microsoft made it, but obviously it's up to every developer to figure out how to use it accurately with their own game. It doesn't mean it's actually going to work right when someone makes it in the game, or even that to that degree.
But it could.
But it has the ability to be great.
And hopefully
but someone
they will.
Well, yeah. See, here's the thing: developers don't always use stuff. Like originally, the Ring of Light was supposed to indicate also, like for example, they showed an example of when the 360 first came out. They said, like, let's say there's four players, somebody shoots you in a FPS, and, like, the ring of light on your controller will blink for which person's shooting you. But instead it's when, fuck it, let's just make it whatever player you want,
okay.
and let's not mess with that. But originally they had said that, like, the ring of light also on the console and all that could indicate other things, not just error messages, of course. But things in the game, and they never used it.
So basically, someone has to actually use this technology.
Yeah,
and not just make it whatever vibration.
But it's not overly complex, so they probably will. So.
They fucking better, because, I mean, they put so much work. I mean, it sounds silly. They added two more motors. But engineering-wise, it's actually super complicated to get it that sensitive.
It is.
I mean, I can't stress enough how it just wasn't fast or slow vibration. I mean, it was an extremely well-calibrated.
It's very directed.
If in a game like a Forza or something, it could potentially do different engine vibrations for different cars. It's
handling,
that specific.
Right?
Oh, yeah, and handling.
And the ceramic brakes.
Oh, yeah, it actually...
Oh, yeah, that was the most shocking one.
Yeah, that was
one.
The best one.
It was they had a demo of what anti-lock brakes feel like, and it was unnerving because it was like, this is the thing that happens on when I'm driving and bad stuff's happening. I was like, ugh!
Yeah. And it feels like it.
Get ready to literally crap your pants.
It was perfect. It was very jarring.
What's super frustrating is Microsoft has obviously no fucking clue what to do on a policy side, on a side or from a user interface side, but their engineering hardware-wise is fucking brilliant. Like, we need the Xbox One's hardware and then PlayStation software, or system, and I think we'll be okay.
And the benevolent guiding hand of Nintendo, we'd have a perfect situation.
Fucking hell, man. That's the triangle.
Just come together. Just hold hands and come together.
The Nintendo
and
box.
Form a monopoly.
The Nintendo Box One. Well, Atari. Oh, no. Wait.
We did this thing called Xbox 101.
Oh, so cool.
And there were some actual developers there. I mean, like guys who...
Literally, the engineer who programmed the Kinect's... what do they call that? Like the library or whatever.
Yeah, basically the people who were integral in actually completing this machine.
Right.
And they were great. I mean, these were like cool science game programmer guys you'd want to hang out with. They showed us this complex demo where they wanted to figure out how powerful their system was. So they took data from NASA and recreated sections of the solar system, like all the...
literally the solar system.
I have to call BS on that a bit because...
Why?
Okay, so we were at the X-Bone 101, technical demo. And they did this thing where, like, we're going to render 40,000 asteroids. This is what this technology can do. And then it said, now we're going to render another 300,000. That would easily melt this system. But since we're connected to the cloud, we're suddenly grabbing the processing power from other... like servers right. to do this. Well, and my first concern is, one, if everyone's doing that, it's going to use up, despite what they say, there is only a limited amount of resources. If everyone has an X-Bone and they're all doing this, it's going to grab all the resources and shit's going to happen. Secondly, the asteroids were not actually rendered. They were just little dots of green and purple light. How hard is it to render 40,000 little tiny pink dots on the screen?
Well, they weren't just dots. They were like particles. I mean, that's...
And they were also like accurately projected to where they currently are in the solar system and moving.
In real time.
And their orbits, their individual orbits.
They said the way it was on the screen was literally where the asteroids would be today by using predictive technology.
Oh, no, no. I love that.
The math behind it is fucking unbelievable.
That was amazing because in real time to the second we watched it was accurate.
To be fair, though, they weren't going to use textured asteroids because it's a simulation.
And it still wouldn't work with textured. I
mean. No, of course not. But the concept is, you know, don't think about just, oh, wow, there's a shiny sword. That's what the power of the graphics processor can do. Mm. It was, you know, look at the power outside of the console from a sense of, like, that's what space is right now. We were able to create that.
I did notice a flaw with the rendering, which was he called it hop and tick, which... for him, he thought was acceptable, but basically all the objects in the foreground, you know, were moving smooth in their orbit.
Right.
All the objects that got farther away were doing this thing where they'd like jump, like a pixel, or like jump, and then jump. They weren't moving smoothly. And I'm like, on this type of system, with everything you just told me about the cloud, why can't even the particles far away move smoothly? Why does it look like they're suddenly moving inch by inch?
I called BS. But here's the question. Would you have noticed it if you didn't point it out?
Totally. I will look for that stuff. I saw every single dot in the back moving.
Until he said it.
Well, I was going to say. No, he said it because he knew we were going to notice it, so he said it first.
But did you notice it until he said it, before he said it?
Well, he didn't zoom out until he said it.
But did you notice it until he said it?
I'm not answering that.
Okay.
That's an unfair question because I would have noticed it, but he said it first before I could.
I got you. But you know, you're right. And it does, obviously, it needs some work. It needs a good programmer. But the technology's there.
And once again, these are awesome stuff the engineers did, but who knows if game companies are going to do anything.
It's not like they're going to lend that engineer to...
What's important about this demo is this demo showed that the whole point of the Xbox One being on all the time is that it has access to this raw power. They were saying the thing that they created on the system using just the system's memory was the equivalent of over 10 360s working in tandem with each other. And the thing when they pull out from the cloud and render the additional like 300,000 plus bodies all moving in their own orbits and everything, that would have melted anything that they could possibly have strapped to it.
And anything in this generation does not have that computing power.
Yeah, and they said that. And that's cool that they said that. That's cool.
The thing about the cloud computing, and this is why I think they ended up with Ulizan, it's not like they said, oh, let's fuck people who don't have internet. That's not what people do.
Or even let's control how people touch our stuff. Like, that's all secondary compared to these engineers coming up with a concept where they can, quote, never be constrained by map size again. I'm talking about, like, rendering full spherical worlds to exist on.
Imagine worlds. GTA.
Daggerfall.
GTA with a North America.
Here's my problem with it, though. They say, you know, you always have to be connected to the internet. And I understand that now because it's the only way the cloud computing will happen. But it makes me feel like they did that on purpose to design games with higher capabilities than they normally could handle. And so you have to be connected to the internet and do the cloud thing or your game will melt your system. Like, they purposely did that so they can create better games, but you have to be connected to the cloud in order to use any game.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, well, they wanted to create a game that was beyond their hardware.
That's what I feel.
Well, the always-on thing also, it's... not just that so that you are able to constantly be pulling, it's also that you're constantly able to push. Like, part of the whole Forza thing with the Drivatar is that at any point I can, you know, if your system, you know, if you're not playing Forza, I can still race you because your Xbox is pushing your information, you know, because you're always on.
Data.
So, you know, it's not just pulling from all these Microsoft networks, it's also, technically pulling from, you know, the various Xboxes on this network. So, I mean, It sucks because Microsoft spent so much time in the beginning telling us the downsides of the always-on, inadvertently, that we never got to really think about all the really cool stuff they could be doing.
Yeah, I think the idea came before the always-on. I think what they realized what they did was they fucked themselves. I think they came up with this idea and then went, oh, fuck, now it's got to be always-on. And went, you know what, while it's always-on, what other features can we offer? Because, I mean, truthfully, okay, this is not new either, by the way. Remember SETI?
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Search for extraterrestrial intelligence.
Right. For those of you who don't know, it basically took data from radio telescopes looking for extraterrestrial life, and it used people's computers, extra computing power, to process data.
Yeah, that and the Human Genome Project were the earliest forms of cloud computing.
But you had to agree to it and willingly do it. It wasn't just grabbing it.
Well, when you buy the system, there's a license in using it that says you're willing to
use it. Well, I mean, obviously.
Right.
Yes.
But that's how cloud computing, though, works. I mean, they were able to do, use every computer as a server. This is the opposite. It's you're the one computer and you're going out to a bunch of other servers, but they're able to process data that, like, was huge. I mean, like I said, I mean, as stupid as it sounds, because who's actually going to make this map? But imagine a Grand Theft Auto where you have the size of North America. Like, you could go to Los
Angeles. I can't, because I'd never be able to beat it. Honestly, every game's open world now. I'm not going to be able to beat more than one game in a year.
Here's your errands, right? You have to go pick up the cocaine from Los Angeles.
You're in Los Angeles. Go to Florida and pick up this bag of coke. And it's just like, find a way to get there in real time. It's like,
it is a little daunting how many games are open world.
But no one's going to spend years developing an entire country like that.
No, but the ability,
they did specifically mention it's up to the developers of the Xbox exclusive games to take advantage of this. And that is what's ultimately going to make or break the system as far as gaming is concerned, is the ones that utilize the really cool features of the Always On and the really cool features of the new Kinect.
Right. And what's crazy is that the big pitch for Destiny sounds like it was made for this, and yet Destiny is not on the 360. Mm-hmm. So what gives? I don't know, but maybe...
I imagine the new Halo will somehow utilize it. I think the stuff that EA was talking about with the players' stats and everything will, like, be updated in, like, real time. Like, their actual attributes, like who's good and who's bad, will actually be affected by how they're doing in real life, because they're actually updating how they are doing in real life. And then your Xbox is actually, changing.
It seems like the way they were describing it, it actually has the ability to, the potential longevity on the system has the ability to be well beyond what we're used to. And that could be a very good thing. I mean, the system is the size of a fucking VCR. Like, no shit. Like, I finally really got with one. We've gotten so used to sleek little systems. This is a beast.
Like, it's time to revitalize the huge, Xbox meme.
Yeah, it is.
They're both designed to hold this massive hardware. And
the massive fan that needs to cool it down constantly.
The platinum heat sinks that are,
that's where the money is going into the platinum heat sinks.
Oh, my God. I mean, is platinum even a conductor?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
How did we like the Kinect reflexes? They showed, the X-ray stuff.
Oh, yeah, so...
I want to be lazy when I play games. I don't want to...
Yeah, I don't want to move my hands. Temple. Although, dude, it looked awesome, and we were thinking, the guy just touched his forehead, and it sensed his finger and turned on X-ray vision.
That's cool, but I just want to push a button.
But think of a Predator game, when you, go to your wrist and type things.
I just want to push a button.
But see, the thing is, and John is making a good point, but...
I'm lazy!
We should never play to the lowest common denominator. No offense. certain people...
I'm gonna bother to play a console game instead of the PC Master Race over here, then I want to be lazy.
PC Master Race. Yes, mein Führer.
You haven't heard that before.
Okay. The PC Master Race. No.
I'm gonna get so much hate mail. But here's the thing: everybody who's
no
saying,
one emails you.
Always on. That's almost worse. all people who only want stuff that's not always on, people who don't want to do cloud computing, don't like how much the Kinect detects, all the extra movements and stuff like that, have a dangerous potential, like they say, voting with their dollars, dangerous potential of holding back technology. It's the same kind of people who say, oh, I don't want a cell phone because I don't want to be on it all the time. Well, you don't need it. But one day, when everybody wants to go to, let's say, credit card lists, currency, and they want to move towards other things, you're going to basically be either left in the dust, or companies are going to have to hold themselves back. You cannot hold back technology because people are scared. I mean, we wouldn't get cars, we wouldn't get movies because people, ran out of the movie theater crying and screaming when they saw the train because they thought it was going to hit them.
That's true.
I mean, at what point do we hold back technology?
And I guess, but the thing is that this could be... This can go a lot of ways. Matt and I were talking about how we're watching these engineers talk about what they built, and they built it with good intentions. I can see it. They were excited.
They did a good job, it seems.
And I want to talk more about this Kinect stuff they did, because it's actually quite brilliant. whether it makes for casual game playing or not.
It's very cool.
The actual technology is brilliant, but it could be used for great evil.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And it seems to be that it is, with the always on and you can't use, you know, can't have used games and, you know, all this other stuff that Microsoft may or may not be doing. I don't know the full extent of it yet. Right. And we don't know the programs and whatnot.
They're being purposefully very fucking vague about
it. And it sucks because that's what we heard first.
Right.
And I still hear very little about the really cool stuff. Like, I don't hear much about
that controller.
Yeah. Like, I don't hear about that stuff at all.
Yeah. If it wasn't for that, there being a kiosk for us just doing the hands-on with that controller, like, we wouldn't even fucking know. They didn't say anything about that.
Yeah. Not doing a good job of selling themselves right now.
So if the new Halo game that's coming out, which we know nothing about,
we know that he dresses like a Jedi.
Yeah. We do know that he has
and there's a giant sand robot bird thing. Yep.
But if this new game has like really kick-ass Kinect stuff and does something with the always on and the, you know, the computational things that I can do with the servers and whatnot, then the system will sell, and it will sell well if they do it well. It's all up to the games that come out.
The one thing that, because what really gets me, because they didn't do any Kinect demo during the press conference, is that they definitely could have showed this to people. And also, we weren't allowed to show people. We weren't allowed to take photos, we weren't allowed to take video. Coolest fucking thing, and I would have liked to have seen something like this in Mass Effect. They have to, they touch the forehead, and then he goes in, like, x-ray mode. Then he taps his forehead again, and he goes out of it. And then, like, so it's tracking the Kinect while he's doing the controller. And that's the thing that people, or at least I had the biggest problem with, like, stuff like the Wii. It's like, you get motion control with the nunchuck and the, the Wiimote, but where's my actual controller? You know, so you have to, if you can't have a regular controller or motion control at the same time. And I think that they finally fixed that issue, and I thought that was kind of rad.
Yeah, I think it's clear now that the Kinect 1.0 was a prototype. Yeah, a prototype with voice commands.
Like a super beta test.
I mean, there was a tech demo they did today where the user was leaning with the controller leans on the left control stick, and he's actually leaning more. It was actually using his spine as a third control stick, which was the way he described it and the way you're supposed to develop it. So it's actually really cool that you can, you know, actually use your spine as a sort of...
What if you're really getting into a game, though, and you don't want to move it, but you're just getting into it and you're moving anyway, and then you just fly off the edge of the
What wall? If you have Parkinson's or something and you can't help but move your arms
well
or your
then,
spine?
Well, then the controller is not going to be a good option for you either. Like,
that's true. Yeah,
it was amazing. Like, it was... The tech... I don't know if I want to play a game that way. Most of the controls look pretty simple and pretty awesome. Eventually started doing this thing where he was, like, moving and shooting at the same time and issuing voice commands, and he was taking his hand off the controller to do one of the moves, and I was like, I don't know about that.
That looks
pretty awkward. And also the phrase for it was like, it should be like missiles or fire, but instead it was fire missiles, and that was really awkward.
Let's also keep in mind, by the way, these were engineers that made this, not game designers.
And it was just a demo of a very simple, but the possibilities are big. And again, I don't know if I want it or not. But
not sure if want.
It was so good. It was so well done. It was so futuristic. I kind of want it to happen, whether I want it to or not.
Yeah. I mean, there were games that they've announced now that I kind of want to see that sort of thing in. Like Infamous could be really cool with that sort of thing. You know, the new one.
Yeah.
I thought Force Unleashed would have been cool with it. You know, like just.
Oh fuck yeah.
Yeah. You know.
Why are engineers not actually allowed to design their own game?
Well,
I guess I understand, but they know how to use the technology better than anyone.
I guess the belief for some reason is that if you're a creative, you're not an engineer. If you're an engineer, you're not a creative.
You have to be creative to be an engineer.
I know.
It's often true in some extents. The best games are a marriage of the two.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, sure. Shit.
Portal. Yeah.
Ah, yeah.
High five. Yeah. Mm. No, that was...
Yeah!
Supposed to look at the elbow when you high five. Yeah. It gets a perfect
I just, perfect oh, I didn't realize time. That. Is that how kids do it these days?
Yeah, look at
the
perfect. Elbow? It's perfect.
Does it work for fist bump if I look at his elbow too?
No, he's just punching my face.
So then we met up with a company called Little Orbit where you talked about Young Justice.
Yeah, we got a video coming out, but I'll give the summary. Last year, we looked at Young Justice Legacy, and it was a Young Justice download game that was going to bridge the five-year gap. At that point, Young Justice wasn't canceled. Now Young Justice is canceled, and this game that was worked on by the series creators, I thought it was dead. I thought it was totally, totally dead. But no. It's still around. It looks way better than it did in the pre-alpha thing we saw, because it was rough back then. Let me tell you, it looks pretty decent now. For you know, download Young Justice game. Why the hell not? But it's you know, and a lot of the secrets have been revealed. Of the 5-year gap were revealed in this, you know, finding out things out bit by bit in you know, Young Justice Invasion, the season that followed. But it's, you know, what. It's got the series creators telling the story of events that happened in continuity during that time period. Why wouldn't you want to play that? And they're really happy to be providing something that fans can enjoy, even though the series is gone. And actually, they kind of remain hopeful that maybe Cartoon Network will change their mind someday.
He did say that.
But it is coming out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he did say that he, like, they felt the sting, too.
And that they hope that, you know, maybe at some point it'll be picked up again.
Granted, I don't know how much of that is because, you know, being a fan of the series... Or because, like, wow, we worked really hard on this game and me and Matt get paid.
Either or. Man. Like,
but, yeah, no, but he was in shape. Somebody does know that somebody in the Young Justice business universe is championing the franchise.
Yeah, it's not dead yet. There's not much left, but it's not 100% dead yet.
It's like in, you know, it's like in those FPS where, like, you have, like, the last stand, you know, and yeah. You got the pistol. That's what they're doing right now.
You guys saw some Konami stuff today.
We did.
Well, Konami.
Here's the thing. Whoa. I mean,
I'm sorry, like lay it on me, but
yeah, it didn't work.
Lay Konami.
There's a few there's good and bad things with the Konami stuff. First off, you make an appointment, a private appointment with Konami, and you're like, we're gonna see some behind the scenes stuff. Somewhat basically what happens is a PR guy comes out, talks to you about each game that you could visit on the floor anyway, and tells you what it is, even though we know what it is more than they do half the time, and then they walk away. And it was funny because he was obviously reading from a script, which he had in his hands, and I don't blame the guy. You know, he's doing his job, but he's like, Castlevania 2, Lords of Shadow, you play an all-new character in this game. You actually play as Dracula. I'm like, all-new character, but it's...
Spoilers!
You're playing the character from the first game.
Spoilers.
Sorry, spoilers, but yeah. I was like, so he obviously didn't know, but whatever, he did his job. So we saw some Castlevania 2.
Yeah.
It looks neat. We didn't play it yet. I still have my wristband, so I can cut in line.
Oh, I saw mine too.
Yeah, so we can cut in line tomorrow. Or, you know, yeah.
Yeah, really, remember not to take that off.
You can shower with it on.
There was a okay, so I didn't realize that Kiefer Sutherland was doing Snake's voice in Metal Gear Solid.
Whoa!
Holy
me neither. Kiefer Sutherland?
Would have been better
if he was
Holy shit. In Castlevania as a vampire.
He's actually all Konami's games.
That would be
right
better.
Now.
That would be awesome.
So we saw a bit of that. There was there was this really graphic scene they were playing on the TV. Yeah, seriously, and I wrote it down, but
like
I remember it.
Graphic?
No, it was actually really fucked up. The music was playing, and there's like this woman laying on the table with her intestines hanging out. And there's all this medical shit, and it's zooming back and forth, and they're like ripping her intestines open or trying to put them back in or something. And they pull out this package and give it to Snake, and meanwhile she's dying, and her intestines are there. And I was like, what the fuck is this game? And then they cut to another scene of some guy with a bag over his head being tortured, and it was pretty gruesome. So
wow, that's new territory for Metal Gear.
It is
not quite gore porn until just now.
The most impressive thing, though, if you didn't know, is this thing called the Metal Gear Legacy Collection.
You mentioned this to me today, but only the title, and it was very provocative.
You know what's in it?
I don't know what's in it.
Eight Metal Gear.
Everything.
Every single Metal Gear.
Even the real second game.
He said the original Metal Gears as well.
Yeah. It's got the first two original Metal Gears, and then all the solid ones, and then it's got Peace Walker.
So that, PSP.
Yes, yes, finally.
And it's only on PS3.
So that
what?
This summer.
That collection that they just released not that long ago is completely obsolete already.
So
get
this,
rid of it if you have it.
So this or next this month or next month, only on PS3.
Ooh.
Which is good for me, because I'll have 8 Metal Gear games on one disc.
Well, at least you can play it on a nuclear submarine.
So the PSP version is being...
Yeah.
Wow.
And I really want... I never got it, because I don't have a PSP, and I really want... I heard Peace Walker's amazing. So now will be my chance.
The best one.
I want to play all of them in chronological order. Which might take me a bit.
Good luck with the first two, dude.
you should do a marathon straight through Let's Play.
So now let's get to the disappointing Konami stuff.
It's
not terrible, but
you
should
have started with that and then went to the good stuff.
No, I like to fuck you up on the way. I like to bring you down at the end and leave you thinking like that.
Because you're one of those dudes who farts in the elevator and gets out.
Yes.
Yeah.
Actually, I fart and then go, by the way, I farted. And it's some rank shit, and I haven't pooped in days. They're apparently trying to break into the tablet market, as everyone.
Of course.
So then they ended with showing us a bunch of tablet games that are pointless. Domo Jump, which I pretended to be excited about, but I really
Ooh,
I only like Domo stuffed toys, and that's it. There was a really weird, interesting one, though. The slot machine one.
Oh, yeah.
Slot machine RPG.
Yeah.
What?
I don't even know. Like, that's really all that we saw.
Basically, you choose your job class. It is an RPG, but you use slot machines to battle. There's, like, a slot machine thing, and it's like, you battle. If you're a wizard, you shoot fire if you get a certain combo, and that's how you kill enemies.
I thought maybe I could play an old lady chain-smoking in Vegas doing the slots.
Nope. They combined a fantasy RPG with a slot machine on a tablet.
And that's
can't wait for that buffet.
Yeah, it's not going to make any headway. I mean, maybe it is. It will. I don't know. But
you get bonuses games. If you can smoke more packs.
Yeah. And they had some soccer games. And that's, you know, whatever. Soccer's cool for a lot of people that I know, but it's not my thing.
Drake loves it.
We actually you have to make a separate appointment, I think, to see the soccer thing. So that's why we didn't go in there as well, which is stupid because you make a private appointment. They don't tell you those things.
Well, imagine if our whole appointment was just that, though.
Soccer. Yeah, I'm glad it wasn't. Yeah, Drake is somewhere in there. So yeah, we saw that.
He's playable.
And then, well, John and I also wandered off to the Nintendo section for a little bit, just to check out some stuff while we were there.
We just kind of browsed really quick.
Yeah, I mean, most of the Nintendo stuff is relatively, you know, tame, but we were like, okay, what's some of this? So one thing that bugged me was Mario Kart 8. The game, which we suspect, I know it's like...
I don't know if it's new or not. I feel like the older...
The game is great. Obviously, it looks great. It feels great.
You play it?
I watched a bunch of people play it. No, there were some...
I'm investing some serious time in Nintendo.
There
were
some...
I'm just telling you that.
There were some long lines, and I'm saving that time for, you know, our last day of E3. But, however, I was watching a guy play the game, and on the tablet... It shows every single character you're racing against. But not only does it show every single character you're racing against, it tells you what item they're currently holding. Which is bullshit.
I thought that an older one did that already, though.
Yeah, okay, I know you're like,
no, it is a big deal. However, only one...
I don't want to know that the guy right behind me has a red shell or a mushroom.
Well,
I want to
really
be left guessing.
What? Only one person gets to know that, though?
Wait, when you say tablet, do you mean the Wii U controller?
Yeah, the Wii U controller. I'm sorry, the gamepad.
So the person racing with the gamepad gets to know, and
you know,
nobody else gets to know.
That might have been only against the AI, though.
Maybe.
That's what I was thinking.
I think it sounds like there's a certain selection of questions
online
that we need to ask the hopefully well-informed booth girl tomorrow.
Nintendo? No, honestly, like... Most of the convention did away with most of their booth girls, thanks to probably PAX. Actually, except for Nintendo had so many booth girls.
It's actually the opposite, right?
Well, it's not that they can't be girls. It's just that, like, because of PAX, like, helping everybody class it up, they're not all scantily clad.
Yeah, they weren't crazy.
In Nintendo's case, they're not mail order brides, which
some
was the year with the 3DS. Things were a little weird.
So there was another thing Jonna got to play, which was a bit unexpected, which was Sonic Lost World. And why was it unexpected?
No, that's the Jurassic Park Sonic the Hedgehog crossover,
yes.
Right?
Yeah.
So you went into it thinking it would be...
I mean, I didn't know what to expect. It looks very different from anything they've ever actually released, since the game it looks the most like never came out, the old Saturn game.
Yeah, Sonic but Extreme, we'll link to it.
I was impressed. I liked it a lot more than I expected. Because most of the newer Sonic games, you just fly through. Like, it's just getting through as fast as possible, and I'm not a fan of that gameplay in Sonic. I prefer just kind of exploring. And it's true, like, you can go fast in a lot of sections, but I like it better when you can explore a lot. And this game is all about that. Because since the world is all, like, it's all over the place, like Mario Galaxy, and there are just tons of paths. You can just... There's so many ways to explore. Like, I just was kind of falling all over the place, but even if I fell from somewhere, I could just keep going and keep progressing through the level.
It was
very impressive.
And I don't know shit about Sonic. I'll admit that, obviously. I played Sonic 2.
It was full of throwbacks, too. Like, just all these enemies from the old games. Like, not the ones that you just expect that you always see, but, like, ones from Sonic CD. I was seeing little things that, like... It was crazy. I couldn't believe it. It was awesome.
So it was actually fun.
Yeah,
good. It was actually a good Sonic game, is what you're saying.
I only played the first level very quickly, so I can't speak for the entire game, but I was impressed by the little bit that I played. I'm actually interested in a new Sonic game.
The only unfortunate thing is every time we get a new Sonic game, we get a new wave of Sonic fanfic.
Well, that's...
That's not unfortunate. That makes the world go round. That's sometimes
the best part of Sonic.
Oh, my God.
But the last thing we did, given our allotted time, was play a game called Game & Wario.
Oh, that was fun.
It was incredible. Like, I would almost buy a Wii U to have fun like
it's
that.
Like, it's like having a board game.
We played a game called Sketch, which one person has the gamepad. And, you know, we take every character. We play with four people. You take a picture of your face real quick, and you can do whatever. And it makes it, you know, that's how you select your player. And so someone draws, obviously, on a screen, and someone has to guess what
they're
trying to draw.
Everyone else has to try to guess what they're drawing. You just yell it out until the Pictionary. Person gets it. But
yeah, and it was actually an incredibly fun experience, and you have a time, and you try to get as many people to answer your questions.
We spanked those people pretty hard.
We kicked everyone's ass. I got the question about an egg. There was like an egg, and I was like, egg. We got one about a nest.
I got
all the bird
all
ones.
All the bird related.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
So I think Jonna won for guessing the most right, and I won.
No, you won for guessing the most.
And you won the most for drawing.
Yeah. For getting the most correctly guessed drawings.
Yes. And it was actually an incredibly fun experience. Now the sketch game wasn't too detailed because, you know, it's a Wario thing. There wasn't like multiple colors and brushes.
It's just like pencil sketches.
But it was really fun, and it was fucking good enough.
Well, that's awesome. I had a little bit of hands-on time with the new Donkey Kong Country, Tropic Freeze, or Tropical Freeze, one of the two. Either way, it's a delicious summertime beverage at a water park. What they had me do is actually it was a kiosk that was devoted to playing the game on the Wii U controller, so you could really see how the game plays seamlessly when it's running silently, not on the TV. And, you know, that feature seems pretty sweet. Like, is it restricted to your living room? Yes, it's restricted to your living room. But if you have a house full of people and you want to do something else, it's a pretty good option. And the screen is vivid and the game was great. You know, Retro Studios, again, at the helm of Donkey Kong, some new gameplay features. You can, like, tug on stuff to sort of do mini puzzles in the level. And, you know, a small addition, but really diverse landscapes. You'll be running, you'll be swimming, you slide down a waterfall. And it's like, wow, this is way more side-scrolling action than I'm used to in Donkey Kong. They're just like, so much stuff happening all the time. I had a good time. It was cool. I also talked to Luigi.
Oh my god, no, this is serious. Guys, I know you're thinking, okay. This is serious breaking news straight from the show floor at E3 2013.
Canon.
Cap, go ahead.
He's not fucking around. We can confirm something here that's rather big. Luigi himself confirmed this. Luigi's last name, just like in the Super Mario Brothers live action film, is Mario.
Yeah, we asked him what his last name was. He said, it's a Mario or whatever. That was Mario.
I wish my name was a Luigi, but, you know, it's okay.
And he actually said that. It was a live person. You know, the actual guy was Luigi. It was canon. And he was talking to Cap, and they become BFFs over spaghetti and meatball dinner.
We're best friends. We had spaghetti and meatballs for dinner tonight. It was very romantic.
Nice. So you guys heard it here first. Spread the word. Let 4chan know.
Really, Luigi told me his last name is Mario, just like in the fucking movie. That happened.
It almost didn't happen, but it happened.
Biggest news come out of E3 2013. Confirmed here at nerdyshow.com.
That's big, though.
Luigi Mario.
It could have been confirmed somewhere else, but I like to think that it just happened here.
No. Right, it was confirmed in the movie with Bob Hoskins, but
everybody thought it was non-canon. Now we know that movie's canon.
No, that movie's canon. I actually want a game based on that movie.
Really?
Yeah.
I'd play it.
Yeah, I'd play the shit out of it.
Can it be FPS?
I'd like it to be like Batman Returns for the Super Nintendo.
I want it to be like Manhunt.
Holy shit, I just remember that game. Oh god, you just broke me.
Anyway.
We checked out some shit at Square Enix today, including Murdered Soul Suspect, which I was pretty excited for.
There was a weird thing, though.
I was excited for it.
I tried to do research on this game, right, and I saw a trailer for it. And yeah, I swear to god, the Wikipedia and every other website I said says this game is based, it doesn't even say based loosely, it says based on Die Hard and the character John McClane as if he was still like fighting or being alive as or doing shit as a ghost. That is, swear to god, what I found.
I think you fell suspect to a wiki troll.
I may have fallen suspect to a troll, but it kind of seemed John McClane-ish. He's like, he was a loose cannon cop.
Except it's the wrong era, right?
Well, no, it doesn't.
Let's get into the game.
The dude does not fall out the window in Nakamichi Plaza. He falls out of, is it Nakatomi Plaza?
Yeah.
He falls out the window of like a fourth story building in Salem, Massachusetts. It's in a residential district. This is not Die Hard, but it's a character of it's a character of John McClane, like a tough cop who doesn't really take shit. who gets fucking killed by a supernatural thing and then wakes up and has to solve his own murder, and he's very no-nonsense about it. I think that...
But that's every character. He's the hard-boiled cop. Has nothing
I mean,
to
I say, yes,
all
I
I'm
agree.
Saying is, whether or not... I don't know how it's going to turn out in the game. We only saw, like, the first 15 minutes of the story.
How'd you feel about it?
But I think that it could develop well. Like, if this character can be as endearing as John McClane, even though he's an archetype, like, it could be a really neat way to launch a platform. Take, okay, we got this idea. It's a ghost. It's in Salem, Massachusetts. But the main character, he's basically John McClane. That's all. You know, that's all right. I'm all right with that.
They should have used Bruce Willis's, like, skin, though.
His actual skin.
His 3D model, sorry, of Bruce Willis.
But the problem is he's too old for this shit.
That's Danny Glover.
Right.
Oh, man, what if it was Danny Glover as Danny Glover? And he's like, I'm a fucking ghost. I'm too old to be a ghost.
It's not just Danny Glover. Like, that's, like, all hard-boiled cops say that. That's just the fucking meme.
I like soft-boiled cops the best.
I like poach.
I like mystery.
Cops Benedict.
I like mystery-solving, evidence-driven crime stuff.
LA Noir.
And this got started with the Blade Runner PC game. Like... And this actually reminded me an awful lot of that. And it's a very simplified form of, like, clue detecting gameplay, but it's kind of neat because you're a ghost. You can actually walk through all walls in a given space.
You're in permanent no clip mode.
Yeah, exactly.
So you can go through walls.
But not the floors. You can't go through the walls.
You can't go through the main door of a house because it's Salem, Massachusetts, and they fucked up their architecture with some serious witchery. But you can go through any other, like, wall and object like it's nothing.
Yeah, it's a convenience, but it's kind of nice they have an excuse.
Also, this game might be the story of my birth because that is where I was born. So that might be the twist at the end.
Ladies and gentlemen, you heard it here first. Brandon is the...
bad guy. No, I'm the baby Jesus at the end.
Does it seem absolutely great, breathtaking, wholly original? No. Does it seem cool enough to play? Yeah, absolutely. I would absolutely play it. I'd like to.
I'll borrow it from a friend on the Xbox One.
But it essentially seems like an L.A. Noir where you have a mystery, and you know there's side quests, and you can go off and do this.
If we compare it to L.A. Noir, people are going to get the wrong idea.
Okay, I understand that, but it is very similar because you collect evidence. Yeah. You have to pick certain choices that actually work.
But the world is not indicated to be as immersive or sprawling a
world. No, not the world, but the gameplay was similar.
No, when he stuck the head out the window, they said, now you have access to the entire world.
Oh, you do?
Salem, Massachusetts.
Oh, yeah, it got
maybe.
To that point.
It's open world. It's fully immersive open world.
For the first time.
For the first time ever.
But the great aspect about the game is, unlike the other games, you can't pick up objects and rotate them, investigate them. You actually have to either possess people or listen, like, you can hear what they're thinking, or you have to, like, actually look at an object and try to sense, like, what happened with this object and what it does, and put it together with other clues and see the scene unfold with your own eyes once you put the right clues together. And there was even kind of a hint that you could get different clues, not the same clues, and you know, tied up differently with that way. So,
and also what we saw in the story was, like, the guy had literally just died. He doesn't even really understand his ghost powers yet. There's more to being a ghost than what's happening there. And
it's a complicated world to be a ghost in. There's a lot of rules and shit.
His gun, like, vanished and then reappeared. He suddenly teleported. He doesn't know how this shit works.
But that's
scene.
It's very suspect. It's very soul suspect.
Oh!
But here's, like, the murderer has, like, a hood and, like, a robe.
Are you going to try to spoil the entire game
No. But he looks like a ninja. Yeah. So, but I do think that the killer is going to be some sort of crazy twist, either having something to do with a certain plot point we learn about that I won't spoil, or like, oh, it turned out to be him the entire time, and it's some weird time travel thing, like BioShock Infinite. I have no idea. But it's not your average
spoiler. I hope you're wrong.
Yeah. Potential spoilers.
Oh, shit.
But anyway.
No, it's been out for so long, if you haven't played it yet.
I haven't.
I don't know how I ruined it for you. I'm sorry.
You know what, actually, there was one thing that didn't make sense.
It's not really time travel.
There was one thing I couldn't figure out. In the demo that they showed us, there was a scene where he inspected the bat, and it showed the bad guy bending the bat.
And then it didn't happen.
And then when they actually showed the scene of everything unfolded, he just hit the guy with the bat, and he never showed the scene of him bending it.
Yeah. I saw him bend it.
Yeah, when they first showed him bend it, like, inspecting the bat. But then later, when they went through the whole scene, he just smacked him with the bat and moved on.
No, they're struggling with it, and he goes...
Really? I missed that.
It's after, so he hits him.
You know, he bends it. You know what happened? My legs fell asleep, and I had to adjust myself during that scene.
Speaking of legs,
that's what happened. I'm sorry.
The presentation was cool. They wouldn't let us video or take pictures. So we're in a room, and you have the city street that he gets killed on, and then the gameplay is in the middle of that street on a TV.
Yeah, when he got turned into a ghost.
Like. Right. As soon as he becomes a ghost, they turn these black lights on. And, like, the lights went down, and there were, like, these weird chalk drawings, like, all over the room and stuff. It was a really cool presentation. Sorry, Kev, go ahead.
It was neat.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, it's cool. I'm going to... Hopefully we'll get a chance to play it later. We'll pick it up and...
And there's obviously some more Square Enix stuff. They have a new Thief game, which looks really impressive.
We're hoping to check it out tomorrow if we have a chance to. That's our goal.
And they're showing four different Final Fantasies at once. What kind of a fucked up world? It's like a Starbucks on the corner of another Starbucks. I'm serious. They're showing right next to each other. I kid you not. They're showing Final Fantasy X. They're showing Final Fantasy 13, the new one. They're showing Final Fantasy 14. And somewhere there was probably Final Fantasy 15, or at least videos of it everywhere.
And there's some new stuff for the MMO, too, right?
Oh, yeah, and the MMO. Oh, there was like 14. Five games.
Well, I thought you said 14.
I did say 14. The MMO is 14.
10
sorry.
And 10.2 are in one pack.
Right? Oh, and 10.2.
And probably some mobile game.
Yeah, probably a tablet.
And with all the Kingdom Hearts news, that's Final Fantasy characters going in there, too.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
It's excessive. I really hope after... after this moment, it never happens again. Like it's really, they need to be like, oh fuck, we got all kinds of carried away. So this things have been really congested lately. I hope Final Fantasy 15 is the beginning of a new era where you put out a Final Fantasy every couple years and you do a really good job.
Well, you know what happened?
You don't fucking pull all this crazy shit.
Here's why they keep naming their game Final Fantasy, and I figured out every time they haven't named it like a Final Fantasy and then a number, it's gone horribly wrong. For instance, the Bouncer. They could have made that a Final Fantasy game, like 15. No, the Bouncer did fucking horrible.
Well, Bouncer was actually, which is actually why I think Versus 13, other than being about a crystal and everything, that whole, like, you know, 13 series they wanted to do.
Crystal Chronicles.
It's weird because it's action-based, and now it's going to be 15. So I don't even know if it's going to be, they might rejigger it so that it's, like, very RPG-heavy, but I don't think it was supposed to be super RPG-heavy. I think it was supposed to be more of an action
game. It is supposed to be more of an action game, so...
We'll see.
But why wasn't it?
I hope they keep it that way.
Well, I mean, it still is, because you still see in the trailer, like, the one character jumping around and doing his thing, and, yeah, you know, kind of dirge of Cerberus. But, like, you know, it's clearly missing the sort of team RPG, whether it's turn-based, time-based, whatever, you know, thing they want that makes Final Fantasy Final Fantasy.
There are several characters in it, but they did only show one. But there's, like, a screen where it shows several different characters together, and I don't know if that has anything to do with it.
I do like the thing about Final Fantasy where the gameplay itself is so rudimentary and so basic that you do have time, a moment to concentrate on the story.
The ridiculous of it all reminded me, actually, of Bayonetta. I don't know if anyone else has played
so
it.
So it's Bayonetta meets Bayonetta meets Bouncer.
He's dressed up as much as she is, but a guy version.
Bayonetta might be
jumping off of collapsing buildings and giant monsters.
The giant monsters with the baby faces. It's more, like, I don't think we'll see any baby faces.
To me, it's like Final Fantasy directed by Tarsan, the guy who directed The Fall and Cell.
Yeah, I actually
there was a Final
that
Fantasy.
That makes a lot of sense.
There was a Final Fantasy VII game that was like that. That wasn't turned.
Yeah, Dirge of Cerberus.
Yeah.
And it was miserable, horrible, awful, and everyone hated
that's
it.
Right. That's right.
So it's weird they're doing a new one. Side note, in case you were all wondering, and I know you're not, there was for some reason a Sith Lord in the remastered Kingdom Hearts 1 and 2 game.
In the trailer, there's a hot minute where,
it looked like it.
There's a thing that looks like a Sith Lord dual wielding a red lightsaber. We don't know. It's there. I haven't played the game. I don't know.
And it was two different lightsabers. It wasn't one of the dual ones, but yeah.
And
that's pretty much it for Square.
Yeah. I like to say that John and I were witness to something very special today, and we'll get into that much later.
Much later. Let me tease you a little bit about it. I'm going to tell you that we absolutely cannot talk about it, but we were literally the first people ever to see something.
John, Matt, and I saw something for the first time. It is actually top secret, and we cannot wait to tell you about it. And when we do, we're going to explode. You'll know it when you hear it.
And you can't even say what it's about or genre or title or anything.
Some dude was like, hey, meet us over here in this dark corner. Like, this is literally what happened. He was like, oh, meet us in the hall. Meet me in the hallway. We met up with him after you know, searching for him, found him. He showed us something on an iPad, like, again, like up against the wall. Like, he was so secret about it. We had to wear headphones.
Well, now they know it's on a tablet.
No, it's not. It was a video. We watched a gameplay video on the tablet. And we're watching it, and, like, it's so secretive, like, if we so much as, like, peeped, he was like, well,
it's the main tenets to Scientology. We've actually found religion.
Do not right. say that on this. We will get killed by people at the good folks.
Dude, the Kinect heard you.
So,
but in all seriousness, really fucking amazing. And that's what E3 can be all about. You're either getting a really swanky, cool... kind of cool glimpse at something with your potato chips and sandwiches.
Or getting screwed out of something that could have been good.
Right.
Or X-boned.
Or you know, next thing you know, you're standing in a fucking weird hallway with some guy showing you something, some video that all of a sudden you're getting a first fucking crazy-ass look. I mean, that's the excitement and energy of E3.
Yeah. Megaran was there today, performing with 8-Bit yeah. Weapon. That was pretty cool and totally surprising. Also, Vince Vandal, amazing a remixer. I met him
for the first time. He was really tall.
He saved our asses in the Marvel vs. Capcom remix contest that we held years ago. That's still unfinished. I'm sorry.
Did you thank him in person?
I met him last year, actually.
We gave him a hearty handshake.
You have to thank him every time.
I do thank him every time.
He literally did. It was like the first thing out of his mouth.
They're performing at the Video Game Museum, which had an incredible display. I guess they've done it in previous years, but I've never checked it out.
They do it like every year, and it's really cool.
It was a living room.
There's some of the stuff there blew my mind. They actually had Star Fox 2. They actually had a cartridge.
They did?
Yeah, look at this picture. They had a cartridge of Star Fox 2, the Boxer Star Fox 2. This is the 98% finished Star Fox 2.
I need to go see that tomorrow. That's cool. I love that game.
Just take it and run. Awesome. Take it and run.
They had a 1976 device called the Atari Video Music, which I've never heard of before. That's this like thing that lets you make crazy designs on your TV with music that Devo used in the video for a Peekaboo. The Sega 3D glasses.
Oh yeah, I've seen
how
those
old
before.
Is
those
that
cool.
shit?
That's Master System era.
Oh my god,
that was an add-on for the Master System.
I guess it didn't work as well as it
apparently
should
Nintendo tried it as well. I mean, man, they've been trying stuff for like you want
to
see.
It's really funny how long they've been trying to do 3D.
Look
shit
at this. The Atari Mind Link controller looks like it looks like Geordi LaForge's visor, and allegedly it was going to have you control games with your mind, except that your mind equals facial expressions equals basically the Star Wars Jedi Trainer from a couple years ago, but done in, you know, the early 80s. So that's nuts.
I actually know the gentleman who developed that.
Really?
Seriously?
The Jedi Trainer.
The Jedi Trainer.
Right. And he licensed it. It was originally meant for, you know, obviously deeper applications. But it's funny to see that because now I got to ask him if he ever fucking used that and if that's where he got the idea.
And also the Famicom box, which it's a giant thing. It looks like it weighs a ton and will give you all kinds of testicular cancer.
This is massive.
This
Cap.
Is
Cap. That's the Xbox One.
It looks like the it looks like the post-apocalyptic version of the Xbox One, complete with a gun attached to it. And it was basically made for
it is a gun attached
made
to
for
actually.
Hotels.
Like it's an actual gun.
It was like you shall not pass. Giant, weighs a ton for no reason, hotel version of a Nintendo system.
Oh, I remember those.
You turn it on with a key.
It does a revving engine sound when you start it.
Weren't they Hojos that had, like, Segas in all the rooms?
Yeah, well, I mean, I remember, like, for years after the Nintendo 64 was relevant, I was still seeing Nintendo 64 controllers as some kind of weird peripheral in like, mid-range hotels. That
and
was
McDonald's,
weird.
All the little N64 stations.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that, instead of the play place. They were really trying to get kids fat back then.
Anything else we see?
We saw Phoenix Wright.
Phoenix Wright.
I'm so excited for that. Like this is the very first one that has done away with all the sprites, the beautiful sprites from the previous games, and I'm going to miss them very much. But the way they did the models in this game, it's beautiful. They look almost like they're 2D, but they did a beautiful job. The animations are still wonderful. I'm so excited for it. I don't have a 3DS yet, but that's a game I'm going to need to get on my future 3DS.
Yeah, it's called
beautiful.
It's called Phoenix Wright Dual Destinies, and Phoenix Wright is back. Apparently went on a hiatus for a couple games, and I played all of the games he was in, so I don't know what happened to him, But he's back, and apparently he's getting started again, and it's actually a really fun game. But there's this really weird thing where you have this, like, assistant
emotions.
Where she brings up this friggin' holographic computer in the air.
They have a little gimmick like that in every new game.
I know, but it's so weird. Basically, she can sense people's emotions, and you listen to their testimonies, and it'll tell you what emotions they're feeling at the time they're saying certain things. So, like, at one point, the girl, the defendant, was like, oh, and these boulders were, like, about, or the,
they
the
fell,
they're about to crush
me.
And so she had this, like, surprised emotion, but also happy. You're
like, happy. You're like, why are you happy about boulders falling on you? And you have to, so you have to press her for that and figure out what the hell is that's all about.
And then she's like, oh yeah, because this also happened. And so you're like, okay, good, because why the fuck would you be happy being crushed by boulders?
So can we get a Kinect version of that where you actually play with a friend? So a friend's sitting next to you and you ask them questions. Yeah, and then like it reads their emotion. So then you're like,
I'm sensing you have a boner when you talk to me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Boner
Imagine
emotion.
Imagine the boner detection of the fucking Kinect. Boner.
I detect you grew 1 inch in size down there just talking to me. What's the deal? Yeah. You're my best friend. I don't think we should go down this road together.
Did you imagine boner detection? And it pops up. It has that sidebar.
Why did you ask that during the Q&A? can I detect my friend's? Can I detect my friend's boner? With
I
this?
Pissed everybody off with that fucking question.
It was a good. It was
so
a good
mad.
question. What was the question you asked?
It was that. Because the guy had just shown the EA, I almost said EA because I'm so used to the fucking sports. The sports thing where like they're watching football and then like their fantasy football thing pops up, like a player scores and then it pops up and it's got the sidebar. And I said, well, if that's interactive, what about like if a random show's on or a movie, like let's say Blade Runner's on TV and the distributor of Blade Runner at the time, whoever that may be in 2014. Wants to have a special like Blade Runner content pop up in the sidebar. Could you do that?
Yeah, that's not an outlandish question.
No.
That's a legit question.
Why do you think you pissed people off? You think you pissed the people in the room off, the other press people?
Yeah.
Oh, you definitely stole the... You did steal the last question.
Right.
Which was
hilarious. I sniped it. But they wanted to ask... Because they were asking stupid questions about stuff. Like, why are you going to ask an engineer, like the guy who's programming it, dumb
He's like,
questions.
Can you use it for this? And it's like, well, of course. He said,
fucking,
you know, whatever. If the developer does it,
the question, the answer was, yes, we can. Next.
Yeah. So I wanted to ask something that I really wanted
and
to
you know, And their answer was, yes, you can. If the publisher of content wants to create like a snap menu, they can. And that's, you know,
I'm really glad
cool.
they had an answer for that. He's like, we can do one better.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. And he actually came up like on the fly. He came up with more ideas for that off of what I asked.
Yeah, quite frankly, it will happen. Because, I mean, already, you know, HBO has there, when you watch on HBO Go on the website, they have the versions where like it'll have all the, you know, fun additional information. Well, now that's going to go in... either the sidebar or it's going to go on your smart glass app or things like that. So like, it's really cool. The HBO one, you can actually follow like the, when you're watching Game of Thrones, where they are on the map of Westeros during a scene. And it's cool. You can actually watch the geography of, you know, where they are and how close they are to other people.
Oh God, that would help me so like much.
Oh, yeah.
I'm fucking lost in that show.
Amazon, I was saying this the other day, Amazon on the Wii U has X-ray. If it supports it on that Amazon TV show or whatever, when a character is on the screen, it updates on the Wii U gamepad. It tells you who's in that scene, and you can click and get their IMDb information. So you know, like, oh hey, it's that guy, whoever the fuck that guy is,
and then you can find out instantly.
You look and go, oh, there he is. And
I like that.
That's
because I'm dumb and I need shit like that.
It'd be useful if there was like a Mr. Skin version of that one.
Oh my god, that actress
is hot. What movie has she been nude in?
It tells you, oh, she's been this and this and this, and a sex tape has been leaked about her about 2 years ago. And you can type this to find it.
Oh man, I have a history of asking more awkward questions, so I'm glad that I didn't fucking.
Well, here's I can't even talk anymore. It's true that I don't really like Xbox that much, Microsoft, whatever. But the engineers are really fucking cool, and you can see that they enjoy just developing shit.
Well, they have the Nuremberg defense, right? I mean, they create.
Jeez.
They're just following orders.
But
I want to say, because, you know, I've been not defending, but playing a little bit of devil's advocate. Certain things in Microsoft policies are bullshit, but our job is to report and cover and give our opinions on things that may not be reported on. And I think, like Matt was saying, I think that a lot of the really cool features of these things were glossed over. And I think that's why we felt like talking about the Xbox today, because those engineers worked super fucking hard. It would be a shame if nobody ever got to find out about their hard work.
And I mean, like, I'm not, this isn't a bad thing against PS4, but the PS4 is, it's just the PS4. I mean, there's some cool things about it, but like, what else do we have to talk about?
Yeah, it's the
Xbox got the controller, and it's like,
PS3. I actually like that, like, I don't have to talk about anything. I'm like, you know what? It's going to be better than three.
They just
done.
Don't have any hardware to show us.
Yeah, exactly.
It's the next step. It's very powerful. It has a touchpad on the back of the controller, and that's going to be really fucking cool.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
That's the end of the story.
Yeah. Well, you know what? To be fair, the last time Microsoft...
9/11, never forget.
The last time Microsoft showed new hardware, which was the first Kinect, I was like, I don't care. And obviously, I shouldn't have.
Right. So, oh, yeah.
I'm debating whether or not I should care about any new things that people show me, honestly.
You know, here's the thing, too, is the Xbox is extra $100. I just realized it comes with the Kinect 2.
Yeah,
which was being sold. The Kinect was being sold a la carte.
And the PS4 does not come with the camera.
Right, and those controllers alone are probably worth $60 exactly. on their fucking own.
But you don't need the camera to use any of the games on the PS4 unless someone develops it for
you.
And
you don't for the Xbox. It just has to be there. But you know, you're not.
It needs to actually. If it doesn't detect your heartbeat, the system won't turn on. So if you're stops, undead, you can't play any games.
But if it stops,
we're gonna lose the vampire market.
It will call,
no.
If a game makes your heartbeat stop, it will dial the police for you. It'll dial an ambulance.
It'll empty your bank account
and send them to the wrong address by accident.
It'll probably accidentally order a Papa John's, like through the Papa John's Connect app or whatever. It's gonna
your
be.
Pizza. Your pizza has been ordered, and you're like, help, Xbox.
I'll order that with extra banana peppers.
Anchovies.
Oh, God.
So another cool thing that happened, which is pretty much the last thing I have to talk about right now, we ran into one of the developers for DayZ.
Oh, yeah.
Which was,
Jay-Z. I fucking love that guy.
Anyway, so DayZ was... I haven't played it, but you know more about it. It was originally a mod for Arma 2.
Yes. It was a very popular mod. It still is, but the game was plagued with tons and tons of hackers, and that pretty much ruined it.
Everything I've heard about it when it was... doing well has sounded amazing, and I've wanted to try it.
It is an amazing game.
Arma 2 sounds a little obscure. Can I get a rundown real quick? Like, five words. Go.
I've never played Arma 2. I
cool. That was good.
Okay.
All I know about it is DayZ.
Okay. I haven't played it either because I didn't pay for it. Whatever.
If it wasn't for DayZ, I wouldn't know anything.
It's an open.
It.
It's like an open world. Really? Yeah, it's an open world.
I don't even know if it's an open world. I mean,
it's really. It's a huge map.
It's like a super realistic military shooter. It's a military shooter simulation.
But real.
Like,
real.
So America's Army, but good.
Well, you and I are going to know about
haven't
it now,
played
Brandon.
America's Army. However, I will say, like, there are separate controls to look and to move your gun. And all the feedback is very specific. Like, there's no,
realistic.
Like, ridiculous, like, strafing with certain guns. Certain guns, it's like, you can only shoot it while you're standing still.
Microsoft Flight Simulator, but for Army.
For the military.
Here's the cool thing about the developers, right? There's a small team, and they got the go to make a standalone game. So they said it'd eliminate most of the hacking.
DayZ takes that very complex formula and creates a zombie survival game. Mm-hmm. Emphasis on survival.
Here's how good the survival is. Right now, basically... You start, and, you know, it's a rough... They've only been working on it for, like, 2 weeks. You start with one clip and a gun, at least the character I played, and I ran out, and there was nothing I could do against the zombies at that point. And so you either have to hide or not make noise, but they were just chasing me, and I was running through buildings and shit. It's super realistic. You know, if tons of zombies are coming at you, you're not going to stand around and try to punch them in the face. It's not going to happen. You run out of bullets, you run out of weapons, you run. You hide.
It's the anti-Dead Rising.
Yeah.
And when you come across other characters on your server, other players... You can either choose to...
You can work together or just kill them.
Or you can kill them, take their supplies, because supplies are low.
It's like the ultimate community zombie survival game.
But see, that sounds like no one's going to work together. They're just going to...
No, they do. Apparently they do on DayZ all the time.
It's like Capture the Flag on Halo.
Let me put it this way.
It just turns into a fucking free-for-all.
I've heard some stories from the Ghostbusters guys. Some very crazy things that sound like scenes from Walking Dead involving interpersonal struggles and, like... Small groups banding together
and being betrayed,
people being basically highwaymen robbing people. It gets really real.
The coolest thing that happened though was the developers are really nice guys, and we explained, well, we haven't played much of it or at all because we don't own Arma 2. And
he was
whips-
like, I'll be right back, and he just walked away, came back, handed us two codes to download Arma 2.
So we have codes that we're definitely going to use to download the entire Arma 2 game. No, I'm not giving it to you.
I was going
to
read it.
For free, so that we can get the mod DayZ for it and try it out before the standalone game comes out.
And the code is 368.
It's long.
Bingo.
It's long. It's like 15 digits, dude. Anyway, so that was really cool of them, and I'm
really
totally
nice.
Going to get it.
I wish I'd love to get an interview with them later if we can. They're
yeah, during
very
development.
Cool
guys.
Yeah.
I hope to. That would be really
I
awesome.
I got a card so we can.
Awesome. Awesome. I played DuckTales today.
A side note, I played fucking DuckTales.
Okay.
It's not. It is so much better than you think it is.
In how many ways?
I watched the trailer and I was like, oh, that looks like a nice reskin. Good for them. They built some stuff from the ground up, whatever. It looks so much better on an HD screen than it does on whatever trailer you could watch on YouTube. So much better. Two, actual cutscenes establishing story. The scripts are basically characterization and scripts and everything. It's just like the animated series. It is just like the animated series, and in fact, it's all voice acted, and I was listening to it, and I was like, holy shit, it's the original voice actors. I talked to the rep there.
Probably same writers, right?
And it might be the same writers, I don't know. But I can definitely confirm that it is almost all of the original voice cast reprising the roles from DuckTales. I can't fucking believe
That's
it.
Amazing.
It's so good.
Even Launchpad.
And as the game is known for also, the music is fantastic. I mean, that was the music.
And then they had a karaoke booth for the opening, just alone. People were going crazy. For some reason, it was a soundproof karaoke booth, so only you could hear yourself. No one else could hear you sing, but there was one dude in there going ape shit crazy.
Dancing.
And it was hilarious. I also played Deadpool. I played the PlayStation 4 version, and I've been really excited for this game because Daniel Way, like the penultimate modern writer of Deadpool, let's go ahead and call him the ultimate. He's written so much fucking Deadpool. He redefined the character. He penned this entire game. And what we have here is a game that's pretty much what you'd expect. It's coming out for, you know, the basic modern systems.
PlayStation 3.
Is it PlayStation 3?
No, it's not the next.
Basic gen. Modern systems, as in not the next systems. And, you know, it's a superhero fighting game. The thing that makes it original, because, I mean, it's nothing you haven't seen before, really. The thing that makes it original is the fact that it's Deadpool. It is very quintessentially Deadpool. What does that mean? Well, that means that the entire time you're going through it, you have multiple personalities talking in both of your ears.
I was
giving
wondering
you completely
about that.
Contradictory points of view and breaking the fourth wall constantly.
Okay, because we couldn't hear the sound, but I saw like two different things of text popping up, and I was like, what the fuck is it? Who's talking to him? And I didn't realize it was separate personalities.
Yeah, it's great. I had a weird situation. The dude was playing in front of me. This has never happened before. Here's some E3 pro tips from a guy who's... I've been going for a few years now. This has never happened. I put the headphones on. I immediately recoiled. Like, oh, fuck!
Like, I could see how wet it was. I imagine that sweat dripped into his ear canal. From it.
The headphones were just... sweat holes, and I gotta wash this shirt. I swabbed it off. It was moist. It was quite fucking moist.
Literally dripping. Literally it dripped when he took the headphones off.
It was awful. So be careful of that. Always keep an eye out for moist headphone sockets.
Bring a towel.
Bring your own headphones because they all have headphone jacks on the side.
Or
I don't think they'll let you use other people's headphones. They want the best quality, so they'll only use Turtle Beach.
Trust me. The headphones I'm carrying around are the best quality by comparison to this shit. But whatever, the game was a lot of fun. I mean, is it a fantastic game gameplay wise?
It looked a bit wonky.
It's adequate.
Visually it was nothing.
Yeah, it's nothing impressive.
But
it was
you know,
funny.
It looked like
Oni.
Oh, don't say that.
It didn't.
That's a diss.
I thought it did.
It's a fighting superhero game under modern standard parameters.
Oh, I meant visually. I'm sorry. I meant graphical.
That's a launch PS2 game. What are you saying?
I don't know what this guy's saying. I don't even know what that game is. But anyway, it's decent. Visually, it's decent. Gameplay-wise, it's decent. There's a weird teleporting maneuver, which it ties into Daniel Way's run on Deadpool, where he had a teleporter for a while. But it's weird to have that as kind of a constant feature in Deadpool's arsenal. Whatever, I don't care. Swords, guns, teleporter. Most importantly, it's Deadpool. Like, that's... You won't play the game for Deadpool, you will not be disappointed.
There was a bounce house.
You pumped up a bounce house for no reason. You made all kinds of...
Yeah, what the hell was the deal with that bounce house? I saw he goes, time to bounce. He blew this thing up and started jumping it. Like,
you were supposed to do something.
Yeah, where he's just like, pop it.
I don't... It may have just happened. That might just have been all you do. you know... Why the hell not? Deadpool, why the hell not? It's gonna be hilarious, so just do it.
On a side note, I have to make a correction. I thought this download code we got for Arma 2 was for Arma 2. It's not. It's for Arma X Anniversary Edition, which has all Arma titles to date. I don't know how many there are, but it's everything.
Probably 10, nice. Because it says
well, that's very
there's
cool.
There's no way there's 10. There's at least two. Maybe some mods coming.
Probably 10th year,
oh,
right?
Another cool thing about Deadpool, as you get, you regenerate health, right? So you get beat to hell. But your costume does not regenerate. So you're just a big cancerous mess as your costume gets shredded.
I think I saw his butthole.
Yeah, he did see his butthole. Yeah.
No, I mean literally, like the back of his unitard. What is that?
I guess it's a unitard. It's
ripped, and you see his butt, and I'm pretty sure it's like a pronounced anus. You could actually see.
Did you say prolapsed anus?
Maybe. Yeah.
It's just hanging out,
and also, it's full cussing and everything, so you can finally hear Deadpool, say the things that he says.
Do we know who does his voice?
I don't actually. I'm not sure. I'm not sure who did his voice in this one. But it was well done. So yeah, is that all we got for this day?
Yeah, it was a lot of shit.
It was a lot of shit. It's the longest
episode
so far.
And it wasn't enough time to do everything still, but we got a lot done.
Yeah.
A lot more tomorrow.
Stay tuned for all of our videos. Stay tuned for the last day of E3.
I'm still trying to get that dragon from Natsume booth.
Nolan North.
I didn't have time.
It's Nolan North? Awesome. He has been known for doing Deadpool lately. Yeah. Nolan North! Uncharted.
I know, he's awesome.
No, he was also on Port Charles.
Who the fuck's Port Charles?
What is that?
It's a daytime soap.
Oh.
That's Nolan North.
Wait, the actor?
Yeah.
Oh, I gotta watch that shit and see if he comes in and be like, I found the treasure, Sully. No.
Thanks so much for listening, guys. We got one more day of these rough gorilla recordings on this desk here.
And the videos are coming.
Yes.
We're having some technical issues because, again, we're on the move and off all of our gear, working off of laptops and random mobile gear. Not to make excuses, but things are in the works, and if we don't get things out to you by the time of this recording, they are still coming soon.
Yeah, we're chugging right along. We'll have it all out shortly. And
it's worth the wait,
you guys
sure.
have been awesome for supporting us, asking questions on the forums. We've got some requests here. We're gonna try to get input on as much stuff as we can. We only have one day left to do it, but we're gonna try to do as much as we can tomorrow and hit you back with everything. Just keep them coming.
We're gonna try to get some Ouya info tomorrow for you. So
and tomorrow we definitely have we're getting behind closed doors with Witcher 3.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's going to, how much we're going to be able to get from that because, again, these behind closed doors have been very restrictive and embargoing. And also, Sega's Castles of Illusion.
Woo!
Yeah.
I played a little of that today. I was impressed.
Yeah, we're much like DuckTales, very excited for Castle of Illusion. So thanks so much for listening, guys. Nerdy Show's listener-supported podcast. If you like what you heard, please help us make our monthly support goal. We send you cool stuff in the mail. Don't be bashful. Even a dollar gets you everything, and any little amount helps us out. You are wonderful. This crazy trips like this wouldn't happen if it wasn't for you guys supporting us, so thank you so much. Bye, I'm Cap.
Bye, I'm Brandon.
Bye, I'm Matt.
Bye, I'm Jonna.
And I am John Mad Max Laval.
You're not.
I promised I would bring in Mad Max at least every day.
Thanks for listening to Nerdy Show. Nerdy Show is made possible by A Comic Shop, Nerdapalooza, and the generous support of listeners like you.
Genital support.
Oh, come on now. As listener-supported entertainment, we rely on you to keep this and other shows on the Nerdy Show network alive by telling a friend, rating and reviewing us on the iTunes, or making a contribution in our monthly support drive.
I've got no money.
Well, chill out, man. Any size contribution gets you Nerdy Show audio and images, like even a buck, and it lets you participate in our monthly support drives. Just go to nerdyshow.com and click the support page to chip in. It's easy.
I wait outside 7-Eleven long enough, I'll get you a dollar.
Hey, that's, whatever
works.
It'll
be in quarters, but that's all they're going to give me for the bus.
Well, look, for more episodes of Nerdy Show, as well as other fine programming, community forums, videos, articles, and more, you should head over to nerdyshow.com. And you can subscribe to all Nerdy Show Network podcasts via the iTunes Store. For the latest news, follow us on all your favorite social networks.
Okay.